Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Quorum is present.
Okay, from the top, please.
Item number one, request to remove no parking sign on Duane Terrace.
Motion to table.
Motion is to table, seconded by Mr. Ferraletto.
Item two, concerns climate change and leaf decay.
Motion to open for a very brief discussion.
Okay, I think we, no. The person is not here. We can receive and file.
Motion to close discussion.
Motion to close, seconded by Mr. Wyatt.
Motion receive and file.
Motion to receive and file, seconded by Council Member Everhart.
Item three, concerns future of the Buffalo Animal Shelter.
Motion to open for discussion.
We're going to open this item. We have, I think, two or three people here to speak about this. You're going to have 3 minutes for your presentation and for whatever else that you want to say. Please come down.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. My name is Peter Reese. I live at 49 Sterren Avenue in the city of Buffalo. By way of preface, my wife and I think, can claim to have started the no-kill movement in Western New York in 1999. No-kill essentially means we want animals to leave the shelters alive and well to a good placement. If you get a 90% live release rate, you're no-kill. When we first started this idea or floated it, people said we were crazy, but today we're still crazy. But surveys show that 80% of the people in this country want shelters to be no-kill. We've spent a ton of money that I don't even want to think about on this over the years, to the tune of about $40,000 a year. But what I want to talk to you about today is a range of possibilities, some possible solutions, and just try to get some thinking going here. With respect to minimum requirements for the City of Buffalo shelter, number one, we don't have to have one. There's no requirement that we have our own shelter. With respect to dogs, municipalities are required to have an impoundment facility to return stray dogs and to hold dangerous animals. With respect to evidence dogs that are animals seized from drug busts, dog fighting, other activities, cruelty matters, there should be some accommodation, but it's not appropriate to discuss that in public. That would be an executive session matter. With respect to cats, municipalities don't have to deal with cats at all. Most of the problems today with respect to the animals that are running loose on the streets have to do with cats. And I would like to take a moment here, Mr. Chairman. You and Al DiBenedetti and other people from North District, for some reason or other, were always there whenever we needed anything with respect to animal welfare, and I want to thank you for that. Now, let's talk about municipal shelters in general, and this is not unique to the City of Buffalo. They're not happy places. This is national and maybe international. They're in the DPW. They're underfunded, they're crowded, they're dirty, they're low priority compared to other activities like plowing snow, maintaining streets, garbage collection, et cetera. And they tend to be the home of dead-end jobs for disgruntled employees, and no personal offense intended to anyone. Sometimes they're in the police departments and they do a little bit better because I think there's a higher pay rate there and the police get more attention. With respect to the City of Buffalo Animal Shelter, all of the above problems apply. We've lived in the city for 47 years, and sea bass has never been good. This is not a new problem. I've got an India Walton quote here from 2021, which I will spare you, which says it was part of her platform. It was how she was going to solve the problem. City needs to consider doing things differently. Might want to move the shelter to another department. Might want to outsource it to a 501c3. In many cases, a dedicated organization with one purpose can do better than a minor function in a large department. Examples we have are the South Buffalo Conservancy and the Olmsted Parks, which have been successfully outsourced. That doesn't mean we stop spending money. It means doesn't mean we don't have to, allocate resources, but it's something that we can do and work. Now, another possibility is strong support for trap neuter return, of which I am an advocate, and I am Western New York TNR, and we have a small contract with the city to pay for vet costs with respect to trap neuter return. I have a few of these still left. This is a book, Managing Community Cats, from the Humane Society of the U.S., International City County Management Association, talks about what works, what doesn't work with respect to cats. It is a best practice in this country to use TNR. Western New York TNR did 30 cats Monday, and we're going to do 30 cats next Monday with your money and ours. And I want to thank you for cooperating with us on that. Ellen and I spent $38,000 on city cats last year from our own pockets. TNR has to be looked at as a possibility of sheltering animals out in the community. We really don't have a lot of feral cats in Buffalo. We have throwaways. We're suffering from the post-COVID dumping period where people don't need the animal anymore. They've been evicted from their apartment, whatever. Another item we need to consider, and it may not be within the purview of what the city can do, we have to stop importing animals from outside of Buffalo, Western New York, and New York State. There are shelters and official entities that import dogs and cats. In many cases, these animals are already vetted, spayed, and neutered, and the individual entity can make money adopting them out. When was the last time Kentucky, Tennessee, or Texas did something for you? They certainly didn't do it for us last night. So we may need the assistance of the state, but importing animals into an oversupply is goofy. We need to discourage the intentional breeding of cats and dogs. We have more than we know what to do with now. Breeding animals is not a good idea. We're going to have to increase the supply of low-cost spay, neuter, vaccination, veterinary services. Right now, there are really only three. We have Encompass Animal Services in Hamburg. We have Operation Pets, and we have Dr. Graff and her mobile unit. Dr. Graff's unit and Operation Pets aren't available to us in the winter. We need to increase shelter adoptions. No-kill is matching supply to demand. I'll finish up. When your supply meets your demand, you're no-kill. And finally, I won't get any applause for this, but we need to tell the Erie County SPCA to drop its Haas model and start opening up again and taking animals off the streets and adopting them out themselves. They're not helping our community, and they need to. I'm surprised by that. That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I know, Mr. Reese, that's something that you and I have been working on off and on for quite some time. For the record, I have spoken with the new administration, and I think that there is an interest in trying to do something different with the animal shelter rather than having it solely run by the city of Buffalo. I know in the past that we have talked about having some sort of like an Olmsted-like conservancy that would actually be running it, under the auspices, perhaps, of the city of Buffalo. But if we were to do something like that, it would open up the opportunity to be able to get grant dollars like Olmsted is able to do. But there's a lot of complications. There's union issues, there's contractual issues, spacing issues, and everything in between. And I know that we had been working on it, and then COVID hit, and to be quite honest, other things happened that we just weren't moving forward with that. So, but let's keep this item here in committee, and I will update and keep us abreast of what's going on, especially in light of any discussions that I have with the administration. I think Mr. Reese and I are going to be meeting with them in the near future. I don't think we have a date yet, though. Thank you for coming down.
Motion to close discussion.
Motion to close discussion. Motion. Seconded by Mr. Wyatt.
Motion to table.
Motion to table. Seconded by Mr. Ferraletto.
Item 4, support for Buffalo Pro Soccer and Stadium Development.
Motion to open for discussion.
Motion to open for discussion. Please come down and take the microphone. Welcome. Mr. Bowman, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to take a second to just kind of introduce why I filed this resolution. But I wasn't much of a soccer player growing up, but my son is involved with a great soccer organization locally, Buffalo United Soccer, and they are doing a wonderful job. And it really exposed me to what a global sport soccer is, and just how much opportunity and how many great things could come along with a pro soccer team in Buffalo. So I just had an opportunity to attend one of the community meetings, and I'm really happy with and grateful how the team is approaching this whole process of, you know, potentially building a stadium in Buffalo, their commitment to the city of Buffalo, and engaging the residents on what they want to see and, you know, how they would support the soccer team as they move along. So I just wanted to thank our guests for joining us. And if I could ask you to just talk a little bit about the whole process and maybe a little bit about a timeline and some of the, you know, results you've been hearing and the feedback from the community.
Absolutely. Well, Acting President Bowman and the honorable members of the City Council, thank you for your resolution and the opportunity to meet with you today. My name is Peter Marlette. I'm a Buffalo native and resident and the president of Buffalo Pro Soccer. For the better part of this year, we've been collaborating with local and national firms, elected officials, and community members to advance our mission of bringing USL professional soccer and a new purpose-built stadium to the city of Buffalo, which will be an economic engine and a community asset for decades to come. Thank you to Acting Council President Bowman and his staff for taking the time to meet with us and attend our community town hall. That time has led to the resolution last week and my time here today. I'd also like to thank the 8 English Premier League official supporters groups in Buffalo who wrote and signed a letter of support sent to Councilmember Bowman last week: Buffalo Spurs, American Outlaws, Queen City Cop, Toon Army Buffalo, Buffalo MUFC, Buffalo Seagulls, Nickel City Saints, and Nickel City Irons, who represent thousands of avid soccer fans throughout Western New York. Thank you for your collaboration and support. We commissioned CSL International, the leading advisory and planning firm in the sports industry, to conduct a market feasibility study for the team and the stadium in the city of Buffalo, the results of which have been illuminating. In their economic impact study, they estimate that between construction of the new stadium in 2025 and the operation of the club and stadium from 26 to 2055, we will generate a total output of $351.3 million to the city of Buffalo, create $110.5 million in personal earnings, create 95 full-time jobs, and have a fiscal impact of $11.9 million to the city of Buffalo. Those total outputs for the county will be $588.3 million, and to the state of New York, $631.5 million. The market survey, which they conducted, had nearly 2,000 respondents, 94% of whom had a positive attitude towards USL professional soccer and a new stadium in the city of Buffalo. 49% of those respondents come from Erie County, but outside of the city of Buffalo, showing an appetite for Western New Yorkers to come support pro soccer and a new stadium and the new events that that stadium will generate within the city of Buffalo. The stadium and club will serve the community beyond just our professional soccer games, bringing visitors to Buffalo, driving traffic to local businesses, and creating new opportunities for hotels, restaurants, and vendors at numerous events throughout the year. This will be a transformative addition to the city, and your support will be essential. Thank you very much for your time.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Bowman, and then Mr. Nowakowski.
I just had a quick question, like a general timeline on how this is happening. What is that?
Yep. So we are in the absolute final stages of conversations and negotiations to pick a stadium site in the city of Buffalo. I expect that decision to be made in the coming weeks and then shovels to be in the ground early next year. So the team can be playing in the 2026 USL championship season, which starts in March.
Okay. Mr. Nowakowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to state on record that I certainly hope they come to the Fillmore District because I have a lot of space in my district, and I believe in that the city of Buffalo residents deserve nice things too, and that we deserve to have competitive sports and to be able to have amenities to not only participate in, but to recreate in and to derive sales tax revenue and excitement and vitality to the city of Buffalo. So I couldn't be more in support of that. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. My understanding too is that this would be all privately funded.
Well, that was the initial plan at the initial sites that we had identified, but the opportunity has presented itself at two phenomenal sites that I believe would be transformative for the city of Buffalo, and it is likely at either of those sites, should we move forward with them, we will require some public funding.
Okay.
Motion to close discussion.
Motion to close, seconded by Mr. Bowman.
Motion to table.
Motion to table, seconded by Mr. Rivera. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to remove the following items from the table. Item number 7, 14, 17, 20, 23, and 24.
24 or 34? 34.
7, 14, 17, 20, 23, and... maybe I don't have 34. Yes, 34.
Yeah, 34. Motion to remove from the table item 7, 14, 17, 20, 23, and 34, seconded by Mr. Wyatt.
Item 7, petition for redress of grievances regarding water fluoridation.
Motion to open for brief discussion.
Okay, this item is open. Did we have the individual here for this? You can receive and file or table.
Motion to close discussion.
Motion to close discussion, seconded by Councilmember Everhart.
Motion to receive and file.
Motion to receive and file, seconded by Councilmember Varaletto.
Item 14, Central Park's LED light conversion concern.
Motion to receive and file items 14, 17, 20, 23, and 34.
Motion to receive and file items 14, 17, 20, 23, and 34. Seconded by Councilmember Everhart.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn, Councilmember Farrelletto.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.